time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today, Dusty Coleman, is a Major League Baseball player. He's played for the Kansas City Royals and most recently with the San Diego Padres. I'll talk with Dusty about his journey to the big leagues and why faith matters in this ball player's life. Dusty, it's so great to have you on. Blessed to Play.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, what starts off as fascinating to me is that you grew up, you lived in a cold weather climate in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you went to O'Gorman Catholic High School. But tell us how baseball came to the forefront and developed a passion for that in your life.
Baseball was always kind of there. My dad was a big baseball fan, so growing up we would go to Twins games. I kind of remember going to some when I was a little kid, and I fell in love with going to games there. And then when the Rockies became an expansion team, that's where my dad's family's from, kind of out in Colorado, Denver area. So my uncle had season tickets from the first season, and every summer I got to take trips out to Colorado with my dad, and I'd get to bring a friend and just kind of get to experience baseball for like 3 or 4 days at Major League Park, and just kind of fell in love with watching the game and playing the game.
So who was your favorite team? I know you're about 5 hours from Kansas City. You mentioned Minnesota, Colorado. So who was your team growing up?
The Rockies were definitely my team growing up from, I guess, 1993 on. When they first became a team, yeah, I just fell in love with going to Coors Field, and I always rooted for them.
So in high school, you're an all-state shortstop, and then you decide to go to Wichita State, and play for the Shockers. Talk about that, the decision-making process, going to a Division I school, and winding up playing for Wichita State.
Yeah, that was a fun process. I mean, I was lucky enough to play baseball, basketball, and football in high school, and you know, if you talk to most people where I'm from, they would have probably been shocked that I even chose baseball, because nobody really watched me play baseball. We always kind of traveled out of the state, and so nobody really knew that I played that much. Everybody thought I was going to go play football, but I just kind of had a passion for baseball, and I thought that would be where I could potentially have a career, and I was thankful for Wichita showing me some interest, giving me an opportunity to play there, and it was a blast. I mean, it's an awesome baseball program. We had a legendary coach in Gene Stevenson that I got to play for, and we had a couple great years while I was there. It was a lot of fun.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, joined today by Dusty Coleman. He's played for the Kansas City Royals and most recently the San Diego Padres. Well, here's where the dream starts, Dusty. After Wichita State, you are drafted in the 28th round by the Oakland Athletics. That was in the 2008 Major League Baseball draft. And this is the start of your journey. Talk about that day. I know the 28th round is a bit low, but still you're drafted and you're ready to start your professional baseball career.
Yeah, so at the time, luckily my team, the Shockers, we were in the Super Regionals in Tallahassee playing against Florida State. So my mind wasn't too focused on that at the moment. I was, ready to play and try to get a chance to go to the College World Series. So it was actually after, I think, our second game of the series, my dad told me that I got drafted in the 28th round. I was still a sophomore. I was an older kid in my class, so I was able to get drafted as a sophomore. So, I wasn't too shocked getting drafted that low. So I honestly thought I was just going to go play summer ball and go back to school, keep working on my skills and taking classes and all that kind of stuff. But I went out to the Cape Cod Summer League and had a good summer. And the Oakland A's kind of offered me something that I thought would be a great opportunity for me. And I ended up taking it.
Well, talk about coming out of Division I baseball. It's a high level of baseball. Now you're playing in the minor leagues. You're dealing with international players. They're your competition, as well as players from the United States and even Canada as well. But talk about that. You're getting acclimated, obviously, to the minor league baseball system. But talk about that level of competition and how you adjusted to it.
Yeah, that was, I mean, each level you go to in baseball, there's always some adjustments to be made. And that was a big one for me. I mean, you go, you know, college, he has a lot of talented players, especially at the D1 level. But then when you go to professional ball, you know, every single player has the talent and the skills to play professionally. And it's just a whole nother level. You see a lot better arms. For me as a hitter, that was kind of difficult, seeing the higher velo and some guys with really great off speed. And it's just kind of a learning curve. You know, you go through that in anything in life. And, you know, some people learn faster than others. And, yeah, I just have enjoyed the whole process of each year. I've had to feel like I've had to learn something new or adjust or, you know, just try to get better as best I can.
Something that doesn't get talked about often is the mental game, especially in baseball, where I've mentioned countless times in the show, it's a game of failure, especially on the offensive side. But did you have to develop a stronger mental game through the various levels of minor league baseball coming out of college?
Oh, 100%. I think I never really put too much emphasis on that growing up. I felt like, you know, some things kind of came easy as I was growing up. And once I got to that level, you know, there were some mental skills that I didn't have. I didn't have some of that mental toughness that, you know, I thought I did. And I've had to kind of learn those through the years on how to deal with failure the right way and not let it just eat you up inside, because you can get out a lot of times in this game. And if you really take it personally and negative talk yourself, which I did for a long time, it can wear on you, and you just have to learn some skills. Like I've done meditation and reading just to kind of help me be able to refocus and stay positive even when times are not going well. And it kind of helps me just to be able to get back to being successful sooner, in my opinion.
Chatting with Dusty Coleman, most recently played for the San Diego Padres. Well, you were signed with the Kansas City Royals before the 2015 season, and I know this is a big day for every ball player, no matter what the results of the game are. But July 3rd, 2015, you made your major league debut. You got to take batting practice in the stadium, have all the smells, the sights, the sounds. Talk about that day playing for Kansas City in your major league debut.
That day was very surreal, you know, a moment I'll never forget. You know, just getting called the night before by the manager in AAA saying that I'm going to go to Kansas City and get a play in the big leagues was, you know, a dream come true right there. And then walking into the clubhouse for the first time, seeing my name on the locker and all those things that you dream about growing up, getting to take BP with the team and being part of a big league game is, you know, memories that I'll cherish for my whole life. You know, the game didn't go as well for my personal performance as I would have hoped, but, you know, it was another kind of opportunity to bounce back. And, you know, with Kansas City, I was so thankful and grateful for the opportunities that they gave me. Just to be on part of a team that went on to the World Series was amazing.
Well, you're known as a grinder. You had to go up and down from the minor leagues and eventually get to the big leagues. But talk about that aspect of, you know, going up and down and trying to get back to the big leagues. That takes a lot of perseverance, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, everybody in this game has a different path and a different road. Some people get up there really fast. Some people, you know, take a long time to get up there, which it took me a long time to get up there. And yeah, there was times, you know, especially as I got married and started having a family, that I'm like, all right, maybe, and is God calling me to do something else now? Do I, you know, get a regular job and be home more often? But I, you know, try to stay pretty persistent in my prayer life and just kind of trust in God that He's led me where I'm supposed to be. And luckily my wife has been so awesome during this whole thing and this process to, you know, take on that extra role of being, you know, more of the caretaker when I'm gone playing. And you know, I feel like every opportunity I've had, I look back on it and say, like, oh, yeah, I can see the path that He's led me on. And, you know, it's been an awesome and fun journey.
And we talk about some of the struggle, but you're getting paid to play baseball. It's a game. So you're enjoying what you're doing no matter what level you're at. And at age 28, you made your major league debut. I think you're around 30 now, and you have another chance to get on with the team and perhaps get to the big leagues, and you did with the San Diego Padres. Talk about being let go or going to San Diego to play and given that opportunity to once again get to the big leagues?
Yeah, so last year after the 2016 season, I got hurt, and so I missed a good two and a half months of the season with a broken thumb. And so going into free agency, you know, it's always kind of a question mark is, you know, is that going to affect people wanting you to play because you didn't really get a chance to the year before? But, you know, luckily I had some options, and San Diego was one of them. And, you know, Sarah and I just really tried to, you know, be on the same page and pray about it and just try to pick the right situation for us and our family. And, you know, it's kind of just one morning we both kind of woke up and were like, I think San Diego is where we need to go. And so we signed there and started the season in El Paso, and things weren't going that awesome. I wasn't swinging the bat that great, but, you know, looking back, that they were so faithful, and kind of the words that they taught me or the stuff that they said that they would want me to do and the opportunities that they would give me. And when there was an opportunity in the big leagues to go play shortstop, they gave me the call, and so thankful for that opportunity. I had so much fun up there. They're a great organization, and it was a fun team to be a part of.
Well, let's talk about something very fun for you. Was your first big league home run, I believe, against the Mets. That had to be fun for you to take one deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of feelings that feel as good as hitting a home run and doing it in the big leagues for the first time. That is something that not a lot of people get to say that they've done, and it was a fun moment for me, and ended up being a big hit for the game. And we ended up, the other team came back. We only won by one, so a three-run home run was a kind of a big game changer. And, you know, it was just fun to be a part of the team and contribute and get to do some things that you grow up visualizing and dreaming about doing, and having some of those come true for me has been awesome.
You mentioned you played at AAA El Paso, and then you obviously in San Diego and with Kansas City. What is the biggest adjustment coming up from AAA to the big leagues for you?
I think it's definitely the pitching. Scouting reports with the technology and all those things that are available at the big leagues. I mean, they're available at the AAA level also, but at the big league level, they just make adjustments so well. They find your holes or what you don't do well, and they're going to attack it. And they're a little more consistent at being able to execute that and not leaving mistakes over the plate. And so there was definitely some learning curves that I've had to adjust through and will continue to do. But yeah, I would say the pitching. Every pitcher is, you know, elite. So it's not like you're going to ever go up there with an easy at bat.
Did you ever face triple digits yet?
Oh yeah. I mean, right when you sign, you start facing some young guys that throw fuel, you know, or hitting 100. And, you know, when you're younger and they're throwing 100, they don't really know where it's going at that point because they're still trying to develop also. So those are the scary at bats. So the higher you get up and the velo, at least they know where it's going more often. So it's not easy to hit, but it's a little more comfortable, I guess.
Yeah, if someone's going to throw triple digits, the batter's hoping that guy has control. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, he's more than just talent. We'll talk faith and values with this Major League Baseball player. Dusty Coleman is with us. Keep it right here. You're listening to Less to Play.
There are some saints and martyrs who were beheaded with a greater peace than I have when someone cuts me off on the freeway or my teenager's running late for school. If I find someone's driving me crazy, the problem isn't that person, it's me. Whenever someone disturbs your inner peace, your inner life is too disturbable. Jesus showed us in the way to Calvary that no one can take your hope, your joy, your peace, or even your love for them. No one can make you act or feel anything. When Jesus reigns in our hearts and minds, we don't hand over that kind of power to any human being. So if you're letting someone drive you crazy today, maybe God's telling you to build up the interior castle of your heart so that nothing disturbs you. But that comes from prayer. As St. Paul wrote from prison, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Then the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
It's June 2nd, the optional memorial of Saints Marcellinus and Peter, two of the martyrs listed in the first Eucharistic prayer at Mass. Arrested during the persecution of Diocletian, both were beheaded in 304 AD, but not before converting their jailer. Also, Pope St. Eugene I died on this day in 657 AD. After his election as Pope, a heretical king threatened to kill him unless the Pope approved the heresy. Pope Eugene refused, but the king's country was invaded, preventing the king from carrying out his threat.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Dusty Coleman, Major League Baseball player, most recently played for the San Diego Padres, and he's a grinder, folks. He's been up and down in the minor leagues, has some big league experience now, is living the dream, as they say, and is having fun doing it. But I want to talk about something that's very important in Dusty's life, and that is his life of faith. And Dusty, faith and baseball go hand in hand for you because there's a lot of belief in yourself, but you also have a strong belief in God as well.
Yeah, my faith has been one of the most important things in my life. You know, it's my mom's side of the family, my dad's side, both had strong faith growing up, and so it's always kind of been there for me. Obviously, there's different seasons where you kind of feel stronger than others, but it's always kind of been that rock that I could always go and lean on when things with baseball or life, you know, aren't going well, and when they are going well, just to kind of keep me on the right path.
So talk about, you know, obviously as a Major League Baseball player, your time is very accounted for, I guess you would say, and there's not a whole lot of free time because you're traveling every day. I don't think a lot of people realize this, but you're at the ballpark sometimes 5 or 6 hours before the game starts, and that doesn't count how long the game's going to go that evening. But talk about incorporating your faith and, you know, building your spirituality, as they say, during the season. How do you do that?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of developed my spiritual life during the baseball season. It's developed kind of just as much as my baseball skills, you know. Different things have kind of become part of my habits and my routines. Every day I usually try to, luckily, now that I'm getting a little bit older, I sleep in a little bit less. So I get up and, you know, do some reading on occasions, and I always try to read the daily readings on my phone before the game. And I just have certain times where, you know, where I do have that downtime when I'm at the field, where I just got up done with the workout, or it's before the game and I'm trying to relax and trying to get locked in, is where I kind of add the prayer life into it, and where, you know, I just kind of spend some time to in quiet, talking to God before the game, so I'm kind of at peace and ready to go and do my job.
How about the Mass? I know, you know, as Catholics, that is the focal point of the faith, and I know Mass is offered at the ballparks. I think San Diego has a pretty strong Catholic community at the stadium. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we had a good little group of guys that, you know, were pretty faithful in going to Mass whenever we, whether it was at home or away. You know, everybody was pretty faithful to going and being a part of the Mass too, reading and just kind of growing together as a baseball team and as a family, in that aspect. Yeah, I really enjoyed being up there in the big leagues, because you do have the opportunity to go to Mass at the field, which is pretty cool and small and intimate. But also, like, you know, throughout my minor league career, you know, we don't have Mass typically at the field, so I would always try to go, feel lucky enough that every hotel we were staying in would be close enough walking distance or so to go to a Mass. I feel like, you know, I've got to go to Mass all over the country and be a part of these communities, and it's always been, you know, kind of my home away from home, that even though I'm playing and gone from my family, I still have, you know, that familiarity with the Mass and church.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. I'm chatting today with Dusty Coleman, Major League Baseball player with the San Diego Padres in 2017. Dusty, I talk this question I asked is about identity, I should say. And as a Major League Baseball player, I think you're identified by the fans and by the management, your coaches, as a baseball player, and you're getting judged accordingly. But did you have to make that transition? You're more than just your talent. You're a child of God ultimately, but Did you ever have to come to that conclusion and not just strictly focus on Dusty Coleman as a talented athlete?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I would say mostly the couple of occasions where I've had some injuries, you know, where baseball's kind of taken away from you for, you know, an extended period of time, you kind of go through this time where you do kind of struggle with your identity. But I've always kind of had a good support system of my family and now my wife and kids that, you know, I do see the other parts of my identity that are more important than baseball and that I am extremely blessed to have. So, I, you know, whenever baseball is over, I feel like, you know, I won't be extremely crushed, you know, because I have I have so much more that to offer than just baseball. And, you know, I feel like God's provided me with all those things. And I have faith that when that baseball player identity is over, you know, I'm still going to be, you know, good to go.
Yeah. And you're a parent now, and obviously, you know, the blessings of being married and being a parent. But there's a some people listening who, you know, want their kid to be the next big league baseball star, and they push sports big time. And what do you think, being a talented athlete, being at the major league level and having children now, what is the appropriate way to raise your kids, to introduce them to sports, but no one to back off the pedal, but to encourage them to get the most out of their talent?
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a difficult spot for any parent. I mean, I'm going to start going through it soon. My son just actually, his birthday today, he's turning 3. So I feel like sports are going to be right around the corner for him. And, you know, I look back on my dad. He was very involved and pushed me pretty hard. But I always felt like I showed that passion and that I wanted to do it. So if I ever feel like with my kids that, you know, I'm pushing them to do something that they don't want to do or they're not really into it, then I'll kind of take a step back. But I think as far as parents, we just try to be supportive. And if there's something that they're really passionate about, we just try to do whatever we can to help but not like taking over. Let them be the lead. We're just kind of the support system.
How about mentors in your life? I know we always talk about those people who've affected us athletically or parents and so on and so forth. Has there been a spiritual mentor in your life?
Yeah, there has been. My first professional season, my roommate was Grant Desmet, who, you know, was a very talented baseball player and had an amazing year that year. Hit like 30 home runs and stole like 40 bases and, you know, just kind of on the brink of becoming a major leaguer. But that whole season, you know, we just kind of had chats quite often about faith. He's a strong Catholic and he was saying that, you know, that he was called to be a priest and, you know, just listening to him and his strength and the things that he did to, kind of nourish his faith life had a really big influence on me and it's kind of, stuck with me, even though I haven't kind of been around him in a while. But we still talk here and there. And, you know, my mom and my grandma and my dad and my wife are all kind of strong influences on me in that part of my life, for sure.
Yeah, and Grant was a previous guest on Blessed to Play, and his story was that he passed up some major money to, I believe, going to a seminary. And that's interesting that you had some dealings with him early on in your baseball career. Well, let's talk about some fun stuff in baseball here. What is your favorite play in baseball as a Major League Baseball player? What do you like to be involved in?
I kind of think of myself as a, you know, a defensive specialist. So I like being involved in really fun, like, double plays. I think, obviously, a pitcher's best friend, they always say, is a double play, big moments where you can get, you know, change the momentum of the game. And if you ever get the opportunity to, you know, make a diving play or be part of an awesome double play turn, those are always super exciting for me. And I would also say you have to go with walk-off, too. Any walk-off victory, those are always fun to be part of.
So not pitchers that you have seen growing up or on TV, but who is the toughest pitcher that you've faced thus far in your career?
Oh, man. There's some really good ones. You know, my first at bat in the games this year when I got up to the big leagues was facing Jacob DeGrom, and that was not super fun. He he's pretty deceptive with a really good fastball. And the day that we faced him, he was spotting up pretty good. So I would have to say he's probably one of my top ones so far. And then also Sean Doolittle, who I played with when he was with Oakland and a hitter, and faced him as a pitcher for the first time. And I feel like he throws invisible fastballs. So probably those two guys.
All right, tell us what you like to do for a diversion. What are some of your hobbies? If you want to get away from the game of baseball, what is Dusty Coleman going to do?
Usually for my off days, if my body's feeling good, maybe I'll go play some golf. I feel like I need to rest. I'm a big big movie guy. I like going to the movies, whether it's by myself or with some buddies. I just enjoy kind of that step away from the game just to kind of have some entertainment and relax and enjoy. But also, you know, if I'm with my family, I'm going to spend every second with them too. If I happen to have an off day and they're with me, just playing with my kids gives me more joy than any of those things now.
Yeah, those kids do take up our time. Well, Dusty Coleman has been our guest. Great guy, folks. Dusty, we wish you all the best in your career in baseball. We hope to see you in the big leagues next year. And thank you for sharing a little bit more about you than just your talent right here on Blessed to Play.
Thank you. God bless.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You could like us on Facebook and hit us up right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Dusty Coleman, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.